You don't mind if I tell you a little joke? It's very small, very small. Do you know what the name of God is? No? Andy. Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me. I told you it was little. So every time I hear that, you know, it's like, and the other one is an Easter song, you know. The kid asks his mom, why is Jesus in the gravy? What? You know, gravy. He says, low in the gravy he lay. So he's not in the gravy, he's in the grave. So it's interesting how that what we hear, what our perceptions are, can be very different than reality. All right, you know, children can hear the word Andy walks with me, and what's Andy? What? Who called God Andy? You know, how do you know that? Or the gravy. So when you hear something, we often hear it with our own understanding. And sometimes our own understanding is just a little off. And it doesn't mean we're, you know, crazy or whatever. It's just that we didn't quite hear the notes or the music or the words. And I want to say, before I preach, I want to say something, you know. That's inferring that after I say something, what I preach won't matter, see. So anyhow, while people were arguing about, you know, the conversation was, number one, first of all, go back, skip a little bit. We went to see, what is it, dear? The Great Awakening up at the movie theater. You have to go see that. It's perfect. It's by Sight and Sound, and it was just very, very, very good. And so, anyhow, The Great Awakening. Now, the second, what I was wanting to talk about is people were discussing why they wouldn't go to church. I won't go to church because the pastor, the priest, whomever was ripping everybody off, and the church is full of hypocrites. I don't believe in God and all that. And the answer was, the individual said to them, did you ever hear Beethoven's music played? Well, yeah. Okay, if somebody is playing Beethoven's music incorrectly, do we say there's something wrong with Beethoven? No, we look at the people who are playing the music. So Beethoven didn't change. The people who were playing weren't doing it right. So the same thing is with the church. The people who are the church, the pastors, the priests, the people in the congregation, all that, they are trying to live after Christ, but their failure doesn't say Christ has failed. So the Word of God is our security, our hope in this life and in the life to come. And the issue is, it's not just a mental thing. It's not just something we've learned. Now, I try and teach the Word of God every week, but it's more than our understanding. It's a relational experience. And that relation with Christ changes everything. Because in that relationship, we have a foundation, we talked about in the Sunday school lesson, that is built upon the rock. And when the storms come, now, sometimes in the lesson I talked about, when the storms come, no, we think, well, if I build my life on Christ the rock, we won't have any more storms. Doesn't happen. So you have difficulties. They do come, even if your house is on the rock, but see, it doesn't fall, doesn't falter. And through life, Christ is there. You're safe. You're not on the sand, which is comes and washes it away, and you end up in the ocean. So today we're in Luke chapter 24. When Jesus walks with you and you don't know it. Jesus is walking with you and you don't know it. Luke 24, verse 13. This is the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, so this is Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Jesus has resurrected from the dead. The ladies have seen him, some have seen him, but the appearance of Jesus to the disciples in the room, that hasn't happened yet. So there, that same day, Sunday evening or late afternoon, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, now, the way we make this personal is when you discuss your faith and you discuss things with each other, with other people, you're presenting your thoughts and you're presenting, you know, the problems or even the good things that you may have or questions that you may have. It's not wrong to have questions. And doubt, God doesn't have a problem with doubts. It's just being who you are. So just resolving those questions and doubts. So they were discussing these things with each other. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. Now, if we go back to the beating, the flogging, and the crucifixion, it's stated in there that he was hardly recognizable. Jesus was so beaten and so disfigured. I mean, they ripped out his beard, they punched him, they put the crown of thorns on him. And I mean, we're talking about 2 or 3 inch long thorns, and one translation has it a helmet of thorns, and they just drove it on his head. And so there are, you know, he's bleeding, he's beaten, one of his eyes was, you know, struck with the whip, his back, his front, his legs, front and back, they've just beat him, and he's almost dead. And some reckon that he had lost at least a third of his blood. So that's the Jesus that they have in mind. And so, but they don't recognize him as he is by them. Verse 17. And Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" Jesus always asks us questions. He doesn't come to say, "You better believe in me or you know where you're going." He says, "Well, what's going on in your life? And how can I help you? What do you need in your faith to build your life?" That's Jesus. So they stood still and their face downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" So there's maybe a million people in Jerusalem. You know, it's a normal population of maybe under 100,000, much under that, and now there's possibly a million people there. And these two guys walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus are saying, "You don't know?" And what does Jesus say? "What things?" I think he's probably grinning, you know? You know, he's risen from the dead, and there he's, "What things are you talking about?" That's just me. So, "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied, "he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." The focal point of this entire message, verse 21, "we had hoped." See, that's where we come in. See, we all have hopes, dreams, believing God for, we had hoped. So we'll come back to that. And what is more, the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. Of course, you can't trust a woman, you know. Let's see if you're paying attention. Yeah. Outnumbered, yeah, I'm outnumbered. Keep the tomatoes out the outside. No fruit or vegetables are allowed in the church. But in those days, women didn't count, okay? Just referring to that time period. Yeah. Verse 23, where are we at here? "They went to the tomb," the ladies went to the tomb early in the morning, "but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Now this is Jesus. He said to them, how foolish you are. Okay. And how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. So where does Jesus start to explain himself? He begins with the prophets. God doesn't put guilt and condemnation. He puts the truth in our lap. He puts the truth in our mind. Now, you remember the prophets, right? So did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. Now this is highly unusual, because usually the head of the household is the one who serves the bread. Jesus took the bread. He was now the head. And so the disciples may have been a little, what? Why are you doing that? Well, they'll find out. He broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Wow. And, you know, you wonder, did they see his hand? Did they see the nail prints? Or was it his voice? Was it the way he prayed? It's like, oh, I think it's like Mary. You know, when Mary comes to the tomb and she's crying at the feet of Jesus and she's saying, oh, do you know, she thinks he's the gardener. Do you know where they've laid him? And then he goes, Mary, boom. Jesus knows your name. And I think whenever Cliff is dying or anyone is dying, I think of it in the process, God calls. He knows their name. And one of the things, it doesn't happen always, but like yesterday when Cliff was passing, there was a time that his eyes just went, yeah, boom. It's like, Cliff. I think of it as Jesus saying, Cliff. Yes. Now his body doesn't respond, but his eyes opened, and then after, you know, then they closed. But it was at that moment, and in the spiritual sense, we don't know how things happen the way they do, but when you hear God call your name, your eyes are going to open. You're going to say, who, me? Is it time? Yes. And so, you know, his eyes are open, his spirit isn't, you know, alive, and that's whenever the life of the spirit is greater than the life of the flesh. And the flesh is departing, but the life of the Spirit is rising. And it is in that rising of the Spirit that we know everything's okay. Everything is fine. Everything we've believed, everything we've understood of God and His grace and His mercy, it's all wonderful. Because we're alive. We are alive in the moment. We are alive for eternity. And all the things we've heard of and believed in the scriptures are just coming to life. Well, his body is not coming to life, it's departing. But that's the process. That's what happens. The life is in the Spirit, and Christ is the light and the life. He breathed into us and made us a living soul, a living spirit. You and I are a living spirit. And we have this understanding from the scriptures of what's happening in our life is eternal. It is eternal. This, what we're discussing here, is an eternal relationship. It's not just knowledge. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he's the one who calls us. Straight is the gate, we studied in Sunday school. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Well, Jesus is the gate that we enter into. And then we have this path of life with guardrails, I call it. And the guardrails are the commandments of God. Don't steal, don't kill, don't bear false witness. You know, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul and mind, your neighbors, yourself. Those are the guidelines. And then we have our life that's on this pathway. And our pathway with God is free to become who we are, that he created us to be. And that's the spirit that is alive in us that will never die as we walk this road of life. So we've got boundaries, but we've got hope. And these individuals that are walking on the road, they've got a problem. Their problem is the guy they thought was going to be the Messiah is missing. He's missing. We can't find him. He was in the tomb. We laid him in the tomb. We put a rock in front of the tomb, and now he's missing. The tomb's open, the rocks rolled back, and there's nobody in the tomb. So we had hoped at what he would be, and now we don't even have a body. So they're just frustrated over this whole idea. So Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us? Does not our heart burn within us in the spiritual reality? They ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? So they got up and returned to Jerusalem at once. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true. The Lord has risen and he has appeared to us. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them and he broke bread. So it's a day of miracles. It's Easter Sunday. The celebration has quieted. Somehow he's alive, but don't know where he's at. Can't find his body. The tomb is empty. And where is he at? So what does the resurrection look like? What does the resurrection look like? It looks like you. It looks like you and I. Because inside of us is eternal life. Inside of us is a part that will never die. And that's given to us by Jesus. Luke 24 gives us a very powerful picture. Not of shouting crowds or empty tombs. Not of a triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but of his two disciples walking away from Jerusalem. God is giving us a real life snapshot of two people walking away from Jerusalem, walking away from their hope, walking away from where they had known Jesus to be. And their lives have been shattered because of what has happened. And now there's these women saying he's alive, his body is missing, and they don't know what to do. Confusion after the cross. But we had hoped, chapter 24, verse 1, 21, we had hoped. We had hoped that he would redeem Israel. We had hoped that he would establish the kingdom of Israel like David, King David, you know, bring it all back together in a powerful kingdom. We had hoped that he would do this. We had hoped that he would overthrow Rome, that he would restore the visible power to the nation of Israel. We would once again be a national powerhouse, you know. And the nation of Israel, when they're under King David and Solomon, that little place of dirt on the earth was a significant powerhouse at that time period. because the other empires had fallen away. They were in disarray, and David and the kingdom of Israel was at its strength, at its greatest power. So they had hoped, see? But we had hoped. And this is the challenge that happens to us when we have hope for something and it doesn't happen. I had hoped that life would be a little different. I had hoped that there would be miracles, more miracles. I had hoped that our family, I had hoped that our community, I had hoped. See, those are things that we put on our wish list, our hope for, and we were praying about them. And so we had hope what Jesus would be, but what did he do? He was crucified. He was buried. And now he's missing. So they say the saddest words in the text. We had hoped. They believed in Jesus, but their expectations died. Expectations vanished by the events of life. You know, sometimes those things happen. The things we had hoped for, the things we had wanted, things we had dreamed of, you know, they don't show up. In fact, they just up and die. Well, Jesus did not leave these two alone in their sorrow, in their grief, and their wondering, where is Jesus now? So, if you can picture this, these two guys are walking down the road, and Jesus walks up beside them. Hi, guys. What's going on? Jesus is with you every moment of every day. And he's walking with you, and he says, hey, what's going on? What are you, a stranger? You don't know what's happening in my life? I got this problem. I got that problem. I got kids. I got grandkids. I got a husband, I got a wife, you know, I got parents. What's the matter you? He was Italian. What's the matter you? So they were walking in the wrong direction. They were walking away from all of the events of their life, the most important events of life. They're walking away from them. And as they are walking away, what happens? Jesus shows up. You know, sometimes we have restrictions on Jesus. He never shows up whenever you do wrong. Duh. That's how we got saved. We were living the wrong life. And Christ shows up and he says, you want eternal life? Well then confess your sins. I'm the gate and enter in. So don't miss the point. They were walking in the wrong direction. And what did Jesus do? Verse 27, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus reveals himself through the scriptures. See, coming and listening to me is a wonderful, great experience. And you're going to say, what's the matter you, preacher? But the idea is this is knowledge. This is things that go on in our head. These are thoughts and processes and, you know, hopefully inspiration. But there is a relational experience with Jesus Christ that is more than just knowledge. It is in our hearts and our life. And it is this experience of walking with Christ, being forgiven by God, knowing, and it's not a guilt trip. It's a freedom trip. A freedom to walk with God and be comfortable in his presence, because he's never going to make you uncomfortable. I think of the prodigal son story, that this is Jesus telling us about God the Father. Sometimes we look at it as that we are the son, we've gone away, and we've got to repent of our sins, come to ourselves, and go home. That's true. But I think the main figure of the story, there's a couple main figures, is the Father. Because Jesus is telling us about God the Father. God the Father is looking and longing for his son to come home. Jesus is looking, God the Father is longing for us to just turn away from walking away from Jerusalem, walking away from our assurance and walking towards doubt and abandonment. Jesus shows up. So that's the experience. The Father is looking for us, and what happens when the Father sees the Son a great way off? He takes off running. This is God pursuing us. Let's go on here. Jesus is showing them his death on the cross was not because something went wrong. Did you know in France there are people who claim to have the body of Jesus and Mary Magdalene? That Jesus, after the crucifixion, he escaped, fled Jerusalem, and escaped to France, and he died in France, and they have his body, except nobody knows where it is, and they won't show anybody, but they have it. With the flogging that Jesus went through, he would have died without the cross. He couldn't have fled to. The audacity of people to make up lies to fly in the face of the truth of Jesus Christ. And this is why we cannot allow our doubts or other people's confusion to hinder our relationship with Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ comes to us first by the Word. He loves you. He forgives you. He will walk with you. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are my child. You are with me forever. Then their eyes were opened, verse 30 and 31. What did Jesus do? He took the bread and blessed it. There's just something about what Jesus does in our life. For these individuals, Jesus took the bread, and how he blessed it, what he did with it, was an aha moment. It's him. It's Jesus. And he disappeared. Their eyes were open. Notice the progression. They walked with him. In their doubts, they were walking away from their faith. They were hearing the word from the Old Testament. They were encountering his presence. Their eyes were opened whenever he broke the bread. So the revelation of Jesus Christ is personal. It is relational. We don't get to heaven in a group. We get to heaven one by one in our relationship with Christ. Brad used to sing the song, "Can't Get to Heaven in the Pastor's Truck," because the pastor's truck will just get stuck. In case you were remembering that famous hymn from years ago. So, did not our hearts burn within us? That's the difference. When you and I hear the scriptures, when you and I hear that voice of God speaking to our heart, it's like, isn't there something in me stirring? Don't I burn within? Don't I recognize that there's hope in my heart? There's life here. And it's God speaking. He's the one walking with us. And you see, he was walking with them. The very one who was missing was walking with them, and they were so focused on what was wrong, they didn't realize what was right. So, Jesus is walking with us in our confusion, in disappointment, and your unanswered questions. And he says to us, you know, it's all just part of the plan. Why? I can come up with a better one. You know, God, I got a better plan. You know, and I know God has a flat forehead. Because every time I tell him what he should do, he goes, "Oh, David, I never thought of that." You've heard that joke a thousand times. So what was the turning point for these two individuals who were walking away from their hope, and they were sitting at a table with the very one, Jesus, whom they had thought had deserted them? He was lost. What did Jesus do? He opened their eyes. How? By breaking bread and praying. In our life, God breaks bread. He takes life and kind of opens it up. And we find a place where, wow, God is with me. And what would be God's prayer for your life? That we would have the full revelation of Jesus Christ. An understanding that God loves me and nothing can separate me from Him. And all these difficulties, it's not a mistake, it's part of the plan. The Bible says immediately they got up and returned to Jerusalem. The same road they walked in defeat, they now walked in victory. The same road they walked in defeat and questions is the same road they ran back to Jerusalem in victory. All things changed. Everything became new. Life cannot be the same as it was because Jesus is alive and He has walked with us and He talks with us and He tells us we are His own. Never forget that. So, the message of the road to Emmaus. You may not see Jesus, but He is here. You may not feel His presence, but He is speaking to us in our hearts. We may not understand what's going on and how it's going on and how these things are working, but God is at work behind the scenes, working all things together for good because you love Him and He loves you. The road to Emmaus. Walking in doubt, but running back in victory. So it's not wrong to have doubts, because the person who's speaking in your ear just might be Jesus asking you questions about your faith. Focus on the Scripture and Jesus will answer those questions with His word. Amen. So I want us to take 30 seconds and think about this message about the road to Emmaus. What if it were you walking down that road and you're discussing your life and the events of your life? What would you be discussing? And what would Jesus ask you? What question would He ask you? Any thoughts? You anchor on one? I was thinking of the song, He is Here. You know, oh hallelujah, He is here. And that He is walking with us every moment of every day. Jesus is never so far away as to be just near us. He's in us. He's to the left, to the right. Left and to the right, above us, beneath us, in us, front of us, back us. He's all surrounding. We are covered by the presence of Jesus. Now, let's walk in life. We are free. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. We don't have things that will destroy us. We have hopes that will guide us. And that's what Jesus imparted to these two people. He gave them hope of the reality that He'd already told them, I am alive, and I'm alive forevermore. Let's stand. Amen. Jesus, we thank You. We thank You for hearing our prayer and walking with us in our doubts and in our faith. We thank You for guiding our life. There are no failures. There's just learning experiences. And Lord, there was no mistake in Your death. It was the plan. And so there's no mistake in your resurrection. It's all part of the plan. And Lord, it's no mistake that we are here in your presence, listening to your word. Lord, it's all part of the plan. Let your hope, let your spirit, let your word dwell in us richly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.